Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Cakes will be back on Monday. EB and I saw him yesterday. I looked at his eyes to see if the bags were gone after sleeping for 2 weeks.
Well, they were gone, but they might have been somewhat diminished. He'd been playing poker, though.
Yeah.
So he's probably been staying up a little later than maybe he'd like.
He's played in a couple tournaments over at MGM.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think he's been bounced out, but he looked refreshed.
Yeah.
Good.
But I'm sure
we'll
on Sunday he'll get what he calls the Sunday scaries. He'll tell us about that on Monday, and he'll be sleep deprived, but he'll be back on Monday. All right, time now to hit the skins. We do it every morning at this time. Give you the latest on the Commanders. That's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies to get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
All right, let's start off just, not a ton going on yet, but start off a little housekeeping. These are some moves I think that were actually made on Tuesday, but we didn't talk about yesterday. They added a couple players. I think it's probably just, bodies, but they signed safety Kendall Brooks and linebacker Chappell Russell. Brooks has yet to play in a regular season game, the safety, but Russell played in 16 games for the Jags back in 2021. He was on the field for 72% of all special teams played. So he's a special teams guy. Mm-hmm. Add some depth there. There's been some talk. We'll go through, I think, the roster next segment to talk about it some. In the corresponding moves, they cut linebacker Keandre Jones and safety Ben Nickel. There's been a couple names that have kind of jumped out at the staff and at the John Kimes of the world that have been out there watching every day, the Nickies, the J.P. Finleys.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple undrafted free agents
that have
stood out a little bit. Do you know who the two are? To the coaches, I think, and to the reporters that are out there.
There's give me one offensive name, or defensive?
One of each. There's one name defensively that everyone keeps talking about, and that is Tyler Owens.
Tyler Owens, who's is a corner or safety?
I think he's a safety, and I think they like what he's been doing on special teams. He's
They did talk about him a lot during the game against Miami.
Because he keeps popping in practice, apparently, keeps making plays. So, in fact, he's done so well that they don't think they could cut him and stash him.
Mm-hmm.
He's raising eyebrows around the league. So look for Tyler Owens to be new to this roster, barring anything unforeseen. And then the other is an offensive player.
All right, I'm going to guess here. That's
Is it
Jack Saint?
Michael Wiley.
The running back.
The Wiley. And they say that could spell bad news for Chris Rodriguez Jr., who everybody kind of liked last year, right? I thought when given the opportunity.
Yeah, but he's former regime.
Yeah, different mm-hmm. regime. They didn't bring him in. So they like Wiley. They like him as a runner and a receiver out of the backfield. Quinn has mentioned both of these guys multiple times in recent weeks. I mean, the one thing I think you can say is that this staff is very diligent at giving these young guys and these free agents an opportunity to impress them.
Yeah.
They're definitely given an opportunity, and they're definitely taking it seriously. So those are two guys that could stick around. They do think it's possible Wiley could be cut and then brought back. He hasn't maybe necessarily popped enough on film that he would get snatched. But Owens probably has already cemented himself.
I would think, and Wiley's going to have a lot of opportunities Sunday because there's starters, and probably not a lot of the twos are going to play.
Right? They haven't made an announcement yet, but you would expect Jaden Daniels and most of the ones not to play.
Yeah. So Wiley would play a lot.
I believe today marks 2 weeks from the start of the NFL regular season.
September 5th. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a Thursday.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. Next weekend will be kind of brutal, right? Because there's nothing. It'll just be
we got college football.
Yeah, football. That'd be good. Yeah. So Quinn has been asked, obviously, about the looming cut day. It's got to be tough. You know, you develop a relationship with these guys. You know, we've all seen it on Hard Knocks. It's not an easy day at all for the players, even for the staff. And he was asked if there were any position groups that stood out above others. Do you know what his answers were? What two position groups
stood out?
Stood out to him.
Because you've got Bobby Wagner.
Defensive line?
No. I guess he's talking about just sort of the competition and where it's going to be sort of difficult for him to make cuts.
Okay.
From that perspective. And that is safety and tight end. Here's the quote. I thought two of the groups that have really stood out to me, just been consistent and deep, are at safety. And everyone says, all the guys that are out there, that they're not that worried about the safeties, which maybe in years past they have been. But the corners are the issue when they talk about the secondary issues with this team. So those have been two that have stood out to me of consistently high-level effort, guys supporting one another. And that's what you want as a coach, where there's really challenging spots, guys pushing it at tight end. So it seems like Ertz, Sinnott, and Bates are locks, right? They're just not going anywhere. If they keep a fourth, is Cole Turner going to be that guy? Now, unfortunately for Cole, he hasn't flashed in these games. I don't know what he's doing in practice.
He is healthy, though.
I think he's healthy. They say he's had a solid camp, but obviously we're watching these games and we haven't seen anything really in the preseason, in the games. As for safety, Quan Martin and Jeremy Chinn, they're locks. Remember, they brought in Chinn.
Yep, from Carolina.
Martin looks like he's a real player. Reeves, I mean, he's from the former regime. He's a special teams guy, but they say he's probably a lock. And then Percy Butler and Derek Forrest.
And then possibly Tyler Owens.
And Tyler Owens. So it's going to be interesting. I think receiver is going to be interesting, how they figure that out. Of course, we'll go through all this during the next segment. We'll give you sort of our best guesses.
I haven't heard much buzz about Martavis Bryant since they signed him.
No, they said even like, yes, I listened to Kime as I was driving in. Even yesterday, like he's not getting a ton of reps in practice even. So I don't know what that means. I mean,
I've always said I don't get too worked up about the fifth and sixth receivers. They have a bunch of names and you'll hear, you know Mitchell what? Tinsley looked good today.
Here's my guess.
Bryson Tremaine looked good today.
Here's my guess.
I just don't get too worked up about it.
Bryant gets cut, and then they bring him back on a practice squad, and they let him just continue to develop. And if they need a guy, he's a vet. That's going to be my guess with Bryant.
Maybe.
Cut and brought back. Because they didn't. He knows what he could do. He saw him, you know, for 8 or 10 weeks last year. They brought him back, I think, for
a reason. So you don't think anybody would sign him?
I don't think anybody would sign him, and they probably won't even showcase him on Sunday, because why? You know, just like let him do nothing.
I think he'll play a little
bit. Barely play.
Yeah, he didn't play much on Saturday.
Yeah, and then so you could cut him and bring him back and just you know, develop him and have him there if you need him.
Trace threw a ball to him down the left sideline that now it looked like the DB kind of held Bryant's right arm down a little bit, but I think he got both hands on it and dropped it. Now there was a penalty on on Miami, so they got a first down. But
right, I remember
it was
that
about a 25-30 yard pass. I think he probably
remember that play.
He's got to go up and get that because he was much bigger than
there was
that
another one
that
another receiver just flat out dropped. I don't know if it was Davis or somebody. He just flat out dropped it.
Yes.
But I thought Trace had a great throw down the right sideline. That was his best throw of the
that
night.
That was a good throw. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, I would assume at quarterback, you're not going to see Daniels. You're not going to see Mariota. You're not going to see Hartman. So I would assume you're just going to see Driscoll and Trace.
Right. A great opportunity for both guys. Listen, I hope Trace can find a way. Look, for him, it's just a great audition tape for the rest of the league.
Yeah, you got to put something
on. And then when
on.
They need somebody, that they'll see he can still compete. I think Hartman, like Drab and I were talking about, I think they'll put him on injury reserve. It's almost a lock. And then Driscoll, they'll probably cut and then bring back. Unless somebody picks him. That's my guess. Yeah, then you have the other two.
And these guys get no money for these, unless you're officially on the roster. You're not getting any money.
No, so, I think they get like $500 a week or $1,000 a week.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's not like they're signing a contract and you're getting paid each week.
Yeah, yeah, no.
As if you were on a practice squad, then you're getting a nice check each week.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is kind of the bare minimum. But it's a great opportunity, and I think these guys are excited about it. Mm-hmm. All right, so interesting story just regarding the stadium. I know, I think Grant and Danny were talking about this yesterday. Here's the quote. This is from the WSA 9. The D.C. government has hired an L.A.-based venue and management company to study the feasibility of redeveloping the RFK site and undertake an effort to relocate the Commanders to that stadium site. I think they paid something like $500,000, $565,000 contract with ASM Global, which describes itself as the world's leading venue management company.
Hmm.
It's the they say they're the preeminent management and content partner with over 400 venues worldwide, including 7 NFL stadiums. And so, again, obviously, this is everyone's sort of dream scenario.
Everybody wants RFK.
Everyone's sort of dream scenario is RFK. But, you know, as some have explained to us, and you could just use your own brain to figure this out. I mean, the Harris Group would love to be at RFK. But if RFK and those people in D.C. can't really come up with much money, but Prince George's County could give them $1 billion.
Yeah, they're staying there.
They're businessmen.
Yeah, right. Of course. They're not stupid. Everyone we've talked to has pretty much said that.
Yeah.
That's probably going to end up being right there in PG County.
I mean, everybody's dream is to be back at RFK, but they're going to have to, you know, it's the way of the world. They're going to have to come up with some money.
D.C.'s battling, Maryland's battling. I don't know if Virginia's still in the game. I think Maryland and D.C. are in the game. The fan sentiment is they would want it at RFK, but doesn't mean anything if it's not feasible.
All comes down to dollars and cents, my friend.
So
why they're doing it.
They're doing all kinds of studies. This is the second study they are doing that D.C. has commissioned. In June, they released, remember we talked about part of their economic impact study. That was a $400,000 contract there, but focused on the economic picture of the financial impact of having a stadium and the jobs it produces, the revenue it produces, et cetera.
I don't think you were here. We had a guy in Drab, I can't remember his name, the guy that you booked who was a stadium guy.
Yeah.
He sat in your chair there, and the thing which jumped out at me, and I guess I'm known, but he's like, well, it's not going to happen until at least 2030.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they started building like right now. They started digging
it's
right
7 years.
Now.
2030 sounds like a long time. That's only 5 or 6 years. It's actually not that far away.
6 years.
It's not that far away.
Yeah, but my point is that's if they started digging right now.
2025.
They're not starting digging right now.
I know, but right now you go 6 years away. It's a long, but it'll go by quick.
It'll go by quick. Yeah. It'll be here before you know it. Hopefully we'll all still be here.
Hope I'm on the planet.
Yeah, hope I'm on the right side of the dirt. Hope I'm not already on in some urn. Very possible.
But it's going to end up staying in PG County.
Unless
if I had to put cash on it.
That's what I would bet. But maybe D.C. can, you know, have somebody. They need to find some money. Dig up some money.
They dug it up for Ted.
They can make it. Yeah, how much did Ted get from them again?
$500, right?
So, I mean, let's be honest.
Didn't they come up with 500?
If they came up with 500 for them, they should be able to come up with probably $1 billion for the Commanders.
I don't know. I don't know where the money comes from. I don't know how much is in there.
Well, it's shadiness, I'm sure. But
they wanted to keep Ted, and they got Ted to stay.
Grab, you look like you're itching to say something.
Well, I saw a headline the other day, a story that money, that deal hasn't been finalized.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Which, the Ted one? That could still fall through?
There's a possibility. They passed the deadline.
Mm. Yeah, who knows?
Then he didn't sign it. They're doing a lot of press conferences.
I know. Well, there were press conferences in Virginia, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And commercials and everything.
That's what I'm saying. They're doing a lot of press conferences, but nobody's putting their balls on the line yet. Actually signing a deal.
There's no pen on paper.
Yeah, that's interesting. Drab, I think, made this point a few months ago that retractable roof stadiums, while great in theory, are not really being utilized. And so sort of the thinking is, don't waste the money on those things. You got to go one way or the other. You go open air or you go dome. You don't really do retractable roof anymore because no one really utilizes it that often to make it worth your while.
Mm-hmm. Except at Wimbledon.
What would you want here in D.C.? Open air or... Because I know that is a debate that's going on over there in Ashburn. Been with the ownership group. Open air or dome? What would be your preference?
I mean, I'm more of an open air guy just because I just like the impact of the elements. But that's, you know, I like going to games where, you know, they're outdoor stadiums. I just feel claustrophobic when I go into these domes. And I don't go into a lot of stadiums. But for me, as a fan, I would want the open air. But I could see why they would go for a dome.
The advantage of a dome is, first of all, you have perfect conditions.
Yep.
So the elements, they are cool. But as a fan, I like going to a dome where I know I'm not going to freeze my balls off. Or I know I'm not going to get rained on.
Well, like I said, I mean, if I had season tickets, I'd say, okay, I mean, you're never going to have to worry about weather, so I'd rather go to the dome.
Yeah, but it'd be 70 and sunny every day.
But going to a game, going to a Virginia Tech game in October at Lane Stadium, I mean, I would be depressed if that thing was in a dome.
Right. But that's different. The college atmosphere is different. Yeah. No doubt.
So I'm kind of basing it off of that.
I mean, I haven't been to a ton of stadiums, but I've been to see an Eagles game. I've been to the Ravens Stadium, both open air.
But if I had season tickets to the Commanders and a game in December was going to be 20 degrees, right, I wouldn't want to go.
Right. So that's the counter. So
I wouldn't want to sit out there in the parking lot, you know, tailgating.
It gets pretty cold.
Yeah.
And all of the different, you know, the Taylor Swift concerts you can lock up. When it's not being used for football. So that, I know for a fact, that is a current debate that's going on.
Yeah, like I said, if from a business standpoint, I understand the positives on that. I'm just saying as a fan and a viewer, I'd much rather watch a game outdoor than in a dome.
And maybe as a viewer, but as someone that was going to the games, I'd rather be silly 70 degrees, perfect temp for me personally.
Yeah, I mean, for more than half of the year, you have pretty much perfect temps, unless it's raining.
I wouldn't think you'd have to worry about only open air.
Say again.
If the most likely it's going to be an enclosed roof, like the Bears plan to do with their new one. I think only four or five teams have retractable roofs.
No, I'm saying, that's what I said. The whole premise, whole thing said no retractable roof. Mm-hmm. It's either open air or closed.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be open air. Because they're going to want a Super Bowl. They're going to want all that stuff. They're
My understanding is the ownership group loves open air. The idea of open air.
Well, because they're
old. But they're fans. They're old school fan guys, and they're like, oh, we can't have a because they harken back to the RFK days, right? But the business folks are with you and saying, you know,
the dome makes sense.
That's why there's an argument. But believe it or not, the ownership guys, the Mark Hines that are used to going to the games, you know, with their scarf and their gloves and everything and tailgating out in the freezing cold, they like that. They have the romance. They like that notion.
Well, they're doing it in Buffalo. They're keeping it open air because that's part of their home field advantage. But for the retractable roof, the return on the investment just isn't there. It's hundreds of millions of dollars more.
Yeah, so I said that at the beginning. Rule out the retractable roof.
Yeah.
So it's open air or dome. I think they might go dome because of the revenue that they can bring in. And they're going to take the nostalgia of, you know, thinking that, you know, John Riggins is going to run out of the tunnel, take that and throw it away.
If you want to chime in on an open line Thursday, you can at 800-636-1067 as we talk Washington Commanders on an open line Thursday. Welcome back on an open line Thursday, 800-636-1067 is the number. I just had a Clif Bar and something stuck in the back of my throat.
All right. Hey, the Yankees play a day game today, right? I found out last night that Stevie's boss, the senior vice president of his company, my guy Jonesy, gave him four tickets.
Yeah, they're playing their last game of the series against Cleveland.
So he's blowing off work, and he's going to Yankee Stadium today.
There you go.
Who do they play?
Play Cleveland's the last game of that series,
All right. So, the kid will be there.
Yep. Nats play the Rockies today at 105. So if you want to go over to the game today after work, head on over.
Tee time, buddy.
Yeah.
Tee time. I got a tee time. Looks like JP's got a tee time. Valdez, you got tee time today? Are you locked
Not
in?
Not today. We got bit season we got to record.
I'm playing with PJ Glasser from the BetQL Network. We ran into each other a couple weeks ago. Just he was walking into the building as I was walking out. He was like,
"Who is the guy?
Golf?
Forgive me.
I used to do the show on Sundays with him.
Who is the guy from the BetQL Network that I was?
Andrew. He's the boss.
What's his name?
Andrew.
Andrew. Yeah, very nice guy.
Yeah.
Very nice guy.
Well, the weather is just unbelievable right now.
The weather is spectacular.
Don't get used to it. It's going to be in the 90s next week, but right now, for the last couple of days and today, perfect.
Should I? I'm gonna let you in on a little personal story here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've been grinding for the last year playing golf. You know this, right? At home,
yes.
I've logged almost 300 hours at home hitting balls.
Yeah, I couldn't even.
Valdez knows because I was texting him the other day. Finally. Broke 80 for the first time in decades, right? I did it four times before when I was younger. Yeah. Started having kids, stopped playing golf. Dedicated myself. I walked those 18 holes. How much of a factor do you think that was versus just being in my cart, playing Jelly Roll on my speaker and hooting and hollering? Like, I think walking
could be a factor.
Locks you in a little bit.
I think it also, I think it for some locks reason, you in. Walking, I walk most of the time. Now today I'm playing at Hampshire Greens. You can't walk that course.
Yeah.
But walking sometimes lets you forget about the last shot if it was a bad one, and then
just
kind of
locked in the whole time because you're just you know, still helping your friends and everything, but you're not smoking and joking as much. Like the cart girl's coming around. If I'm in a cart, there's a 50-50 shot. I'm gonna probably order a drink. But when I'm walking, I can't carry a drink. Like, I can't even do that. Like, I don't even know how people do that.
But
people do
say,
that? My buddy, he's a pilot. He brings silly cigars. Normally, I would have one.
Here's the reality.
But not when I'm walking.
But here's the reality. You put in the time. You're finally getting some results. And you probably were close to breaking 80, I'm guessing, a couple times because you played all these
the
rounds.
The difference is, honestly, Valdez knows this. I've been hitting balls on blue in the face. And I'm definitely hitting the ball somewhat better. But believe me, I could still hosel one off the net. I mean, I could do anything. That lab putter, unbelievable. I think I had 5-1 putts. I was like, this never happens to me. If you struggle with putting like me, like literally, I've played this game over 40 years. I'm one of the worst putters ever. Only Cakes is worse than me. Okay? Cakes is markedly worse than me.
Could a lab cure Cakes?
It might cure Cakes. It might bring him back to the game.
Yeah, but doesn't cure distance control.
No. For some reason, it's helped my pace.
Okay.
Boy, my lag putting was silly. I made 2 bombs that I never make bombs. The last bomb I made was at Enterprise back in 1996. Like, I never make long putts. I made 2. I was lagging up to 2 inches.
So the putting is what helped.
Putting is what helped.
I think generally speaking in life.
I know, but I can't.
I think generally speaking in life, if you put in the work, you'll get the results. You've put in the work, so to your credit, you've had a lot of reps. I'm not at your level.
But the putting is.
I'm an 18 handicap, but I had my best round, which was an 84. And I don't think it was a coincidence that the 2 nights before we went to Olney Golf Park. Like, I was trying to convince my son.
But you hit
to
balls?
Play.
I hit balls every effing day.
Yeah, but I never hit balls. I never hit balls in between rounds. I haven't hit
balls. Well, you can't get better. If you don't hit balls, you can't get better.
You're seeing the fruits of your labor.
No, I know. Believe me. I said this to my kids, too. Because, like, do you know that when I tap? I did. Because, but I, like,
Jason,
here's the thing.
What's your hat say?
No one cares about
your shoes.
No, I know that. I know no one cares.
No, I care because I like to take credit for your golf renaissance.
Well, in some ways, you can. And I'll get back to that. But
cured his back. His bent over.
A little bit. I think I need to just get out there and play again and get loose.
Yeah.
But I sent it to my kids because they know how hard I've been grinding. And I told them, hard work pays off.
It does.
Dad finally did.
There's no doubt.
No, I mean, look, they know that, but it's good to see.
In any sport,
if you put in the work, right, you're going to get the results. Like is your tennis getting better or no?
My tennis is getting better, but it's just funny because you're just a garage player for the most part. I mean,
that's not true. I'm at the club every day. I hit balls at the club every day, and I play once or twice a week. And then I go home, though. You understand, I have an obsession. When I get, my kids all know, when I obsess on something, I'm all in. So you guys see me hitting balls at home and hitting balls at the range, but I do play too. But when I'm not playing, I'm hitting balls.
Eric's the talk of the golf community.
How so?
Everyone wants to know because they know that you're out there grinding.
I'm grinding, putting
in my
work.
Everyone wants to know, like, what, like, how is he doing? Is he playing? My big thing was
Who's Eric, the everyone?
Well, dude, like everyone I play with asked about Eric's game.
Okay,
because you know why? Because I post on social media.
I know.
I post. Yeah. You know,
I play with a bunch of people, and no one's ever asked me.
Eric, your son played college lacrosse, and it's just funny to me. Not what you're doing is right, but if I was giving advice to my daughters about working hard, and I said, "Hey, Daddy's getting better on the tennis court. That's a life lesson for you." It's just funny to me.
I know it's funny to you, but they know it. They're hardworking kids. Yeah, I know. They know it. But it's just a reinforcement, you know. I still have another one coming up, remember. I'm still sending messages to my, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The next step was taking it from the simulator and the practice sessions to the actual court.
Listen, mm-hmm. I'm playing today.
And you did that. That's great.
And
by the way, be prepared for the letdown.
No, that's what I was going to say. I'm going to shoot 100 today. I already know.
Be prepared, because that's how it is.
I already told Squirrel, I'm going to shoot 100 today because I'm coming off my best round.
You know you need to do? You just need to focus on one thing. Keep the putting going.
The putting is everything.
Don't worry about everything else. That was the major life leak in your game. See if you can keep the lab putter going this round.
Yeah. But he's brought his average down. But you're right. I shot my 84. The next round was 96. Same course.
No, I know 100%.
Same course.
I know I'm shooting 100 today.
Everything.
I know it. I'm going to shoot 100 today.
But for me, yours is putter. For me, it's the damn driver. I went from zero lost balls to six lost balls.
Here's what it is for me. Every day it's something different.
It's a difficult sport.
Some day it's the hardest sport ever. It's the most humbling sport ever. The guy I played with, okay? I don't think he listens to the show. He's new. No. The other guy I played with is, and I know this guy, I won't say his name or anything because I don't know if he wants attention, but he's a pilot, okay? He's new to the area. Okay, so I don't think he listens to the show. I don't think he knows anything about
me. Hold up, give me your force. We had a brain surgeon, a pilot. Who's the third?
My buddy, Adam, is personal trainer.
Okay, personal trainer and radio guy.
Yeah,
it's a good foursome.
Yeah, I mean, by far, I'm the dumbest guy in the group, the least probably athletic guy in the group. I mean, you know, whatever, whatever derogatory thing you can think is probably me, fattest guy in the group. But whatever.
Yep, but just my buddy, 79.
My buddy who's a pilot, who's a 5, okay? And he's a great... So I'm cheering. Like, you don't understand. Nobody's there. No one cares. My buddies do. They were rooting for me. Yeah. I fist pump after I make... Jason, I had a 2-incher.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 4.5 feet for 78. I know nobody cares, but just bear with me.
2-incher.
It's been 2 decades since I've broken it. It's my whole goal in life every day is to break 80.
So I'm going to have to change his email address.
So I can't because I'm still, it's not my best round. My best round is 74, but you know what? That was at Glendale. Glendale's kind of nubs. Yeah,
and was when you were, what, 20?
In my 20s.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's when AOL
driving
started.
Driving every green.
He's had that email address since AOL.
Prior to yesterday, I'd broken 80 four times in my life. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once was at Glendale, Nubs course. I liked it. You know, everybody has fond memories. We had a lot of good times out there, but that course was a joke.
Glendale.
Two other times.
Glendale's still there?
No. Oh. Done. Houses.
Wow.
Kevin used to live there. Kevin used to live on number 9 or something. No, that was at Indian Spring. Indian Spring was my other two, but easy course. I don't even have pride in it.
Mm-hmm. It's like a pitch and putt.
The only one I had pride in was a 78 at Blue Mash, like when it, you know, it was like 20 years ago. Okay? I'm terrible. My pilot buddy that I play with, he's a 5. All of a sudden, he got a case of the shakes.
Oh, really?
On the
court.
It's happened to all of us, right?
It happens, yeah.
It happens to all of us, right? He was hitting hosel rockets. He was going crit now. He ended up, because he's a good player, he had like 4 birdies, and he somehow shot an 81.
Put it back together.
And he was, I mean, I'm telling you, he probably had 4 or 5 off the hosel. He didn't know what to do. Lost. And he's a great player. And that was the first time he said he'd shot over 80 in, you know, a long time. That's how humbling golf is.
I'm begging when you roll up to the clubhouse at Norbeck today, there's a big banner that says congratulations.
No, I didn't. Yeah. Well, you know,
maybe he gets a plaque. Like most people get,
get a plaque for
a hole in one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so, like mine for 79.
Hole number 7
Jason,
and all the people.
Someone's
going to
talk about it today.
Can I okay, bear with me. Just do people mind this? Is this okay?
This is your back padding segment.
I'm not trying to back pad.
I know.
I'm going to give you the emotion. So how many times we've all done this? Anybody's ever played, especially golf? You're checking your score. You know, my buddy kept saying, "You're having a great round, EB. You're having a great round. Lock in." He kept telling me, "Lock in. You're doing great." So I'm on the tee. I told him, I said, "I need a birdie 17 because it gives me a little cushion so I can bogey 18 and still be 79." Some bitch, I birdied 18. It actually happened.
I got a two-shot cushion.
So you beat birdied 17.
I birdied 17.
Right.
So then I'm at 18 tee. How many times, and I can remember when I was at Lowe's Island, which is now Trump, right?
Correct.
I was at Lowe's Island. I was on the 18 tee 20 years ago, and I had a chance to break 80, and I think I got like a 10. Like, you know, you just crumbled on the last hole. Just crumbled. So I haven't done it in 2 decades. I'm trembling on the 18th tee. Trembling. Because you guys know how hard I've been working.
Rick Schuller was probably out there.
No, I was playing with Ryan Keel, I'm for sure.
But wasn't Rick Schuller the head pro?
Was he?
At Lowe's?
Was he?
Or maybe
I don't think so.
He was at River Creek.
Yeah, he was at River Creek. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm trembling on 18th tee. I push my tee shot. I said, the one place I don't want to go is the bunker. I'm going to aim left of the bunker. Anything left, even if it's long uphill, I can handle that. It's fine. Just don't go in the bunker. What happens? Pushed it right into the bunker. Now I'm distraught. Now I just see everything going to hell, right? Fairway, bunker, got a lip issue.
You have time.
Right, triple bogey. Bunker,
let me get the deal. So I got about 165 in, but I got a lip issue.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does that mean if you're not a golfer? That means I don't know if I could get, like, say, a 6 or 7 iron over that lip and still reach the green. So I go, all right, I'm going to take my medicine.
Look at you playing smart.
Take my medicine. Just took an 8. Pured the 8. Pured it. Problem is, I forgot about the tree that was in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the tree, okay, out of the bunker. But luckily, it went about 100 yards.
Right. So you're still in the fairway.
No. I'm in the rough, but God was looking down at me. And I had a good lie. Fine lie. 80 yards in. All I got to do, Jason, is get it up and down or within two. Just get an 80-yard wedge out of the rough, right, on the green.
Two putt it,
and I got my 79. Mm-hmm. God, again, he said, Eric, I see that hard work you've been putting in. I'm gonna bless you right now. I hit the sand wedge of my life, mm-hmm, out of the rough, 4.5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking up there going, there's no way I'm not going to break 80 now.
Right.
There's no way. I got 4.5 feet straight uphill. Hold on. I know we got to.
All you got to do is two putt it.
All I got to do is two putt. I'm trembling on a 4.5 footer. Trembling.
Because?
I care so much.
Because also I'm a terrible putter. I'm like, I'm
liable. You're not going to blow it 6 feet past.
I could hit this 10 feet. Like, I don't know. I might leave it 4 feet. I might have 3.5 feet. I don't know what's going to happen. I hit it. Lips out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got there. I should have had 78.
Well, they just give it to you.
I have a 3. Well, I know, but because I felt like I had to make it. I had 4 inches left.
Why did you even putt that?
Because I wanted to earn it.
You want to hear it.
I said to Rich, my buddy's a pilot. He goes, I don't know what to do. I'm panicked. What if I miss the 4? If I miss the 4-incher, I would have killed myself on the 18th green.
You would have quit golf.
I would have killed myself. I would have said, somebody get a Glock and shoot me right now. Made the 4-incher, shot the 79.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
AB, is your old car or truck
thank you
more rust than ride? Give it a new mission and donate your vehicle to the Purple Heart Foundation to provide critical assistance for veterans and their families. You'll get free pickup and a tax receipt, and veterans will get the life-saving support they need. Call 877-718-HERO or visit purpleheartfoundation.org to donate. 877-718-HERO, 877-718-HERO, or purpleheartfoundation.org to support our heroes today. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. EB coming off a 79 playing golf today. A lot of pressure. But I think your average has come down, right? Because you said shot like an 82.
My handicap has gone down. Nobody cares. Yeah. From 13.
So you're not going to shoot 100.
To 10.5.
You might shoot an 86.
Well, 80. No. Yeah. But I just prepared. I know the inevitable golf letdown. Believe me, I know it.
All right. Yesterday, we spent some time talking about Jaden Daniels. He's been named the starter. Everybody knew that was coming. Probably not going to see him on Sunday in the final preseason game, although Dan Quinn hasn't said anything. When he came on our show,
he said
that was
still
the one
thinking
that he
it.
Was like in coach speak. Yeah. Like, I actually really thought our interview with Dan Quinn was excellent.
He's not playing.
But that one was coach speak. But I brought up some stats yesterday just to pump the brakes a little bit. And I prefaced it by saying I think he's going to be successful from what I've seen. But his average depth of target is under 5 yards in the preseason. A lot of sideways passes. But I guess this irked Valdez. Is that what irked you? I don't know.
No, I had I had a lot of people reaching out to me that were tilted by JP's cherry-picking stats from Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading and listening to what they had to say. And then I went back, and then I was thinking about it.
Did you cherry pick some stats to counter? No.
No, I did.
Okay.
Last season, we're talking about Jaden Daniels' depth per target.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who was 31st last year in depth per target?
Patrick Mahomes.
He actually led the league also in yards after catch by 400 yards. So his receivers doing all the work for him. They gained 6.4 yards after their catch. In JP's world, Patrick Mahomes would be a game manager. He would be RG screen. He would be alarmed at the depth of target that Patrick Mahomes is using last season. So but no one would call Patrick Mahomes a game manager.
Yeah, they call him a superstar.
They would call him the best quarterback in the league.
One difference is he has a resume of success where he's shown all types of passes, whereas we're speculating on how Jaden Daniels is going to play. And the reason why I'm saying pump the brakes is, and I didn't create those stats as I saw Zach Kruger post it, the average depth of target is so small that it's like, okay, let's see what he's going to do. We know that Patrick Mahomes in big plays will execute and deliver. He's done it over and over again. That's why they've won 3 Super Bowls. He's done it short passes, long passes. He's done it with his legs. He's done everything.
And it made me wonder, why do we care? Why do we care if it's a 60-yard drive, how those 60 yards are manufactured?
Don't. But also, that was one stat. The other stat was the sack-to-pressure ratio. So I don't know where Patrick Mahomes falls in that. I'm going to guess he's one of the best.
Well,
also, like, Patrick Mahomes, I saw this stat yesterday, was in the top 3 most accurate passers in the game. There's a lot of factors.
Well, just why is the narrative when Patrick Mahomes throws short passes, he's avoiding sacks, he's accurate, he's risk adverse. But when Jaden Daniels has a lack of depth for his passes, it's, oh, I'm alarmed. This could be a swing pass, heavy offense. We're just cherry picking what we want out of the quarterbacks. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe. I think that, number one, the offense, we had a guest on yesterday who said that Cliff Kingsbury's offense is a certain type. And so far in the preseason, it's been similar to Cliff Kingsbury's offenses in terms of the passing game, which tends to favor the short pass game.
That's what I don't understand is. So why are you just not comparing it? Well, this is a similar offense to what Patrick Mahomes ran last year.
I guess you can.
Well, last year,
I guess you can, just because
if you listen to the analytics, Mahomes probably had his worst year last year.
Correct.
Now maybe it's because Tyreek is not there anymore and Kelsey's kind of, you know, on the downside of his career. He didn't have great receivers. But if you look at the total, his total career for last year, it was one of his worst years. But he's also had unbelievable years where he threw 50 touchdowns. Right? He's a touchdown thrower.
I'm just putting context. You seem to be upset. Putting context on Jaden's passes. Do you know how many pressures he faced in the preseason, according to PFF?
How many pressures?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Zero.
Not many, I was going to say.
Zero. Do you think that's going to happen the regular season? So all I'm saying is we haven't seen a lot from Jaden Daniels to, I'm countering EB's can't miss. I hope he's can't miss. I hope he's bust proof. But we haven't seen enough.
Well,
and some of the numbers say that this is what the offense is going to look like. It may be completely different. I heard, I don't know who it was. I heard somebody say, might have been on a show, that they just, they didn't want to show any of what their game plan is going to be, and they snagged other people's game plans. Did you mention that?
No, but I did hear Keim talk about in practice, and McLaurin's talked about it. They're moving him all over the place in practice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he's lined up 27 of 28 times on film.
Right.
For these guys, but in practice, he's running
everywhere.
Out of the slot.
Right.
They're running him all over the place. They're running Luke McCaffrey all over the place. So, and as to Jason's point, well, maybe Kingsbury is going to do something a little bit different than what he did in Arizona. Maybe he's
learned,
grown a little bit, and he has new, I'm sure he has new elements that he's going to add to his offense.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of weapons. They like, who's the name escapes me. Is it Kaz Allen? Is that the guy's name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They like him. They're moving him all over. They're trying these guys
trying
all
everything.
Over the place.
Yeah.
But so I don't think it's fair to say, well, he doesn't throw downfield. The receivers only line up in one spot. It's very vanilla. That's what preseason is.
Also, JP makes a point, and I don't understand this point. But he dings the quarterback if the receiver is open. Like, I don't understand that. Like when you
I'm
talk
not
about
dinging a quarterback.
No, you're saying
the receiver's open.
You say like on RPOs, a receiver's running wide open. You reference the RG3 offense mm-hmm. all the time. Well, who cares if the receiver's open or covered? Shouldn't you want every single pass that the quarterback throws?
Of course, but
for the receiver to be wide open.
But we know that's not going to happen. What I'm saying is we haven't seen certain scenarios when you're just throwing, and it may be by design. Like you said, great example on Terry McLaurin in practice versus games so far, preseason games versus practice. We haven't seen challenging plays from Jaden Daniels yet, and he will have challenging plays because he's not just going to have open receivers. He's going to have to make tight window
throws.
But see,
I've seen tight throws, though. I don't know what you're seeing. I've seen tight throws. I think name two or three. I haven't seen a dozen.
Yeah,
but I've seen two or three.
He was a couple last week.
I see he's making quick decisions. He's getting rid of the ball quickly. Everyone's raving about his ball placement and his accuracy. He's making quick reads. He's super. I don't know. You're looking at stats for preseason.
Yeah,
like literally useless nonsense
and college football.
Okay.
The sack to pressure thing is a college football stat.
All right, and the counter to it is Lamar Jackson had a similar rate and has been an NFL MVP.
And Joe Burrow.
Yeah, so, I mean, certainly he doesn't look great in the sack to pressure stat, but neither did Burrow and Lamar. So what I have to do with that stat then is ball it up and trash it. Just have to ball it up and trash
it. Well, here's the
other. And then just look at my eyes.
And just to react to what Matt's saying about that particular stat and last year, and that's a good comparison because he did have a bad year. But if a guy is just dinking and dunking, you know, for 6, 7, 8 yards here and there, but they're driving down the field.
Who cares?
The difference is with Patrick Mahomes, they're scoring touchdowns when they get into the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's always done.
Well, I think they're going to with Jaden.
They may. I mean, we have to wait and see. But see, that's the difference. Mahomes is great because, okay, maybe he's not throwing, 30 yards down the field all the time now, especially since Tyreek's not there. But when they get in the red zone, they score touchdowns.
They were 14th in scoring last year. So
last year, okay. But look at his career. He's got 219 passing touchdowns, basically in 6 years.
All right,
when we come back,
we got our guy Dave Richard talk fantasy. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. EB coming off a 79 playing golf today. A lot of pressure. But I think your average has come down, right? Because you said shot like 82.
My handicap has gone down. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
From 13.
So you're not going to shoot 100.
To 10.5.
You might shoot an 86.
Well, 80. No. I just prepared. I know the inevitable golf letdown. Believe me, I know it.
All right. Yesterday, we spent some time talking about Jaden Daniels. He's been named the starter. Everybody knew that was coming. Probably not going to see him on Sunday in the final preseason game, although Dan Quinn hasn't said anything. When he came on our show,
He said they were still thinking about it.
He was like in coach speak. Yeah. Like, I actually really thought our interview with Dan Quinn was excellent.
He's not playing.
But that one was coach speak. But I brought up some stats yesterday just to pump the brakes a little bit. And I prefaced it by saying I think he's going to be successful from what I've seen. But his average depth of target is under 5 yards in the preseason. A lot of sideways passes. But I guess this irked Valdez. Is that what irked you? I don't know.
No, I had I had a lot of people reaching out to me and that were tilted by JP's cherry-picking stats from Jane Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading and listening to what they had to say. And then I went back, and then I was thinking about it.
Did you cherry-pick some stats to counter? No.
No, I did.
Okay.
Last season, we're talking about Jaden Daniels' depth per target.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who was 31st last year in depth per target?
Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes. He actually led the league also in yards after catch by 400 yards. So his receivers doing all the work for him. They gained 6.4 yards after their catch. In JP's world, Patrick Mahomes would be a game manager. He would be RG screen. He would be alarmed at the depth of target that Patrick Mahomes is using last season. So but no one would call Patrick Mahomes a game manager.
Yeah, they call him a superstar.
They would call him the best quarterback in the league.
One difference is he has a resume of success where he's shown all types of passes, whereas we're speculating on how Jaden Daniels is going to play. And the reason why I'm saying pump the brakes is, and I didn't create those stats as I saw Zach Kruger post it, average depth of target is so small that it's like, okay, let's see what he's going to do. We know that Patrick Mahomes in big plays will execute and deliver. He's done it over and over again. That's why they've won 3 Super Bowls. He's done it short passes, long passes. He's done it with his legs. He's done everything.
And it made me wonder, well, why do we care? Why do we care if it's a 60-yard drive, how those 60 yards are manufactured?
Don't. But also, that was one stat. The other stat was the sack-to-pressure ratio. So I don't know where Patrick Mahomes falls in that. I'm going to guess he's one of the best. Well, also, like, Patrick Mahomes, I saw this stat yesterday, was in the top 3 most accurate passers in the game. There's a lot of factors.
Well, just it's then why is the narrative when Patrick Mahomes throws short passes, he's avoiding sacks, he's accurate, he's risk adverse. But when Jaden Daniels has a lack of depth for his passes, it's, oh, I'm alarmed. This could be a swing pass, heavy offense. We're just cherry picking what we want out of the quarterbacks. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe. I think that, number one, the offense, we had a guest on yesterday who said that Cliff Kingsbury's offense is a certain type. And so far in the preseason, it's been similar to Cliff Kingsbury's offenses in terms of the passing game, which tends to favor the short pass game.
Why is it not similar to Patrick? That's what I don't understand is. So why are you just not comparing it? Well, this is a similar offense to what Patrick Mahomes ran last year.
I guess you can.
Well, last year,
I guess you can, just because
if you listen to the analytics, Mahomes probably had his worst year last year.
Correct.
Now maybe it's because Tyreek is not there anymore and Kelsey's kind of, you know, on the downside of his career. He didn't have great receivers. But if you look at the total, his total career for last year, it was one of his worst years. But he's also had unbelievable years where he threw 50 touchdowns. Right? He's a touchdown thrower.
I'm just putting context. You seem to be upset. Putting context on Jaden's passes. Do you know how many pressures he faced in the preseason, according to PFF?
How many pressures?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not many. Zero.
Not many, I was going to say.
Zero. Do you think that's going to happen the regular season? So all I'm saying is we haven't seen a lot from Jaden Daniels I'm countering EB's can't miss. I hope he's can't miss. I hope he's bust proof. But we haven't seen enough.
Well,
and some of the numbers say that this is what the offense is going to look like. It may be completely different. I heard, I don't know who it was, I heard somebody say, might have been on a show, that they just, They didn't want to show any of what their game plan is going to be, and they snagged other people's game plans. Did you mention that?
No, but I did hear Keim talk about in practice, and McLaurin's talked about it. They're moving him all over the place in practice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he's lined up 27 of 28 times on film for these guys. But in practice, he's running everywhere. Out of the slot. Right. They're running him all over the place. They're running Luke McCaffrey all over the place. So, and as to Jason's point, well, maybe Kingsbury is going to do something a little bit different than what he did in Arizona. Maybe he's
learned,
groaned a little bit, and he has new, I'm sure he has new elements that he's going to add to his offense.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of weapons. They like, who's the name escapes me. Is it Kaz Allen? Is that the guy's name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They like him. They're moving him all. They're trying these guys over the place.
Yeah.
But so I don't think it's fair to say, well, he doesn't throw downfield. The receivers only line up in one spot. It's very that's what preseason is.
Also, JP makes a point, and I don't understand this point. But he dings the quarterback if the receiver is open. Like, I don't understand that. Like when you talk about
dinging a quarterback,
no, you're saying
if the receiver's open.
You say like on RPOs, a receiver's running wide open. You reference the RG3 offense all the time. Well, who cares if the receiver's open or covered? Shouldn't you want every single pass that the quarterback throws?
Of course, but
for the receiver to be wide open.
But we know that's not going to happen. What I'm saying is we haven't seen certain scenarios when you're just throwing, and it may be by design. Like you said, great example on Terry McLaurin in practice versus games so far, preseason games versus practice. We haven't seen challenging plays from Jaden Daniels yet, and he will have challenging plays because he's not just going to have open receivers. He's going to have to make tight window throws.
I've seen tight throws. There's a reason why. I don't know what you're seeing. I've seen tight throws. I think name two or three. I haven't seen a dozen.
Yeah.
But I've seen two or three.
He was a couple last week.
He's making quick decisions. He's getting rid of the ball quickly. Everyone's raving about his ball placement and his accuracy. He's making quick reads. He's super. I don't know. You're looking at stats for preseason.
Yeah.
Like literally useless nonsense.
And college football. Okay. The sack to pressure thing is a college football stat.
All right, and the counter to it is Lamar Jackson had a similar rate and has been an NFL MVP.
And Joe Burrow.
Yeah, so, I mean, certainly he doesn't look great in the sack to pressure stat, but neither did Burrow and Lamar. So what I have to do with that stat then is ball it up and trash it. Just have to ball it up and trash it.
Well, here's the
and
other.
And then just look at my eyes.
And just to react to what Matt's saying about that particular stat and last year, and that's a good comparison because he did have a bad year. But if a guy is just dinking and dunking, you know, for 6, 7, 8 yards here and there, but they're driving down the field.
Who cares?
The difference is with Patrick Mahomes, they're scoring touchdowns when they get to the red zone. Mm-hmm. That's what he's always done.
Well, I think they're going to with Jaden.
They may. I mean, we have to wait and see. But see, that's the difference. Mahomes is great because, okay, maybe he's not throwing, 30 yards down the field all the time now, especially since Tyreek's not there. But when they get in the red zone, they score touchdowns.
They were 14th in scoring last year. So
last year, okay. But look at his career. He's got 219 passing touchdowns, basically in 6 years.
All right, when we come back.
They score touchdowns.
When we come back, we got our guy, Dave Richard, talk fantasy. Don't go anywhere.